He bleeds for you. He pleads for you.
and welcome.
Welcome to the Shabbat. We're going to get started here just in a second. I guess we're pretty much ready. Okay, we're ready this morning. Welcome, and welcome those that are here today. And those that are by internet, we thank you for being here today. We have a guest speaker that will be here shortly. That is going to be in the pulpit here shortly. David Durham, Pastor David Durham from North Carolina will be speaking today to us. So we welcome him and his wife, and we welcome you. So we'll get started this morning. We'll just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started with some of the liturgy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the first Shabbat of the new Gregorian year 2020, Lord. We just ask that you'll bless the worship today, Lord, to you. Bless our guest speaker today and anoint his message, Lord, that we'll receive it and put it in our hearts, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
We'll do Shabbat Shalom. Go ahead, music. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Blessings of the Messiah. Brukatadonai Elohim, you Melech Haolam, Asher Natan, Nalek, Halishua, Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Matovu. Turn it up,
Matovu, O Halekaya Makom, Mishnenotecha
I will fear thy
well of the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru. It's us, Anthony.
Oh, okay. Vishamru Vene Israel, let Hashabat Lasod et Hashabat Le Do Tambourine Do Alam. Vishamru Vene Israel, let Hashabat La so de ha shapa le do a tambourine do alum. B'nai o vain b'nai, b'nai Israel, b'nai Israel, o he lo lam. Beshemru, b'nai Israel, let ha shapa. La so de ha shapa le do a tambourine do alum. Kikeshet Amin, Asa Adonai, Asa Adonai, Shemayim Viharet, Vishemru, Vene Israel, Let Hashabat, Lasod et Hashabat, Le Do a Tambourine Do Alam. Ovaham Pashavi, Shavat Nina Fash, Shavat Nina Fash, Shavat Nina Fash. Vishamru, Vene Israel, Let Hashabat, Lasod et Hashabat, Le Do a Tambourine Do Alam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Pray for Jerusalem music.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Shabbat, Lord, and we ask this morning your divine presence and blessing upon Israel, upon Jerusalem, Lord, the capital of the land of Israel. Lord, we ask this morning that the Jewish people, that the blinders will fall off their eyes, Lord, and they will see Yeshua as their king, as the King of the Jews, Lord, today. And we just pray that you'll bless all the Messianic communities around the world today. Bless the messages, the dancers, the worship today, Lord. Help them financially, Lord. Bless us financially today, Lord, and help us as we still have a lot of things to do here at the synagogue, Lord. We just ask your divine presence and blessing upon the service this morning. Bless all those that are sick today, Lord. We ask that you'll touch them and heal them, and if they're able, come to the service this morning, Lord. And we just bless each one that's here today, Lord, and we ask you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
The servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to gather Israel to himself,
to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Alvino Malkenu. It's okay. We'll skip that.
Okay.
Shema.
If y'all will rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malkuto Leolam Vayed. The hero Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Bill, you feel like coming up and getting the Torah out? Maybe just holding it up here. We won't do the procession this morning.
Should we do the Mika Mocha? Go ahead. Music, Mika Mocha, a little bit.
I'm going to open it for you. To that ancient question, there is none like you.
Sorry.
Ein kamoka v'alim Adonai v'alim kemasecha malkuka malkuko l'omim u'mishafrecha v'dor Adonai melek Adonai melok Adonai imlok le'olam v'ayed Adonai oz le'amo yitain Adonai v'aretet demo v'ashalom
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you want to do Hina Matov or no?
No, I'll just do
okay.
Sit down right there, and then I'll just go ahead and do the Torah call. And
okay.
We'll...
Thank you, Bill.
Yahamod Asher Ben Zedekiah La Torah Baku Adonai Hamvara
Baruch Adonai Hamvarak Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Hamvarak Leom Va'ed
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam
Asher Bapakanami Kol Adamin Ninatan Lanu Et Torto Baruch Atah Adonai Notain Matorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We'll do the drash here. Of course, this is the first Shabbat for the new Gregorian year, 2020. It ends a decade. 2019 was the end of a decade, which I believe is 20 years. And I just thought I would give you some of the things that I picked up, that with 2020 we're starting a whole new decade. And the past decade was quite a lot of things happened. Of course, I can't mention them all, but I just picked out a couple of things. You know, this past decade we saw that Barack Obama was elected as the first African-American president, and Sarah Palin was the first woman who ran for vice president of the United States. It never happened before. We saw Facebook introduced in 2004, and on the first day that Facebook was available to the world, there was over 1 billion people that accessed Facebook. I don't know how many he's looking at now, probably 10 times, I don't know. But we also saw that the Supreme Court redefined what marriage was, that it was no longer between a man and a woman, but it could be between two men, two women, or a man and a chicken. It didn't matter. As long as they loved each other, the Supreme Court says it's a marriage. Also, I think one of the things that I saw that impacted me was gender redefinition. People now are redefining their gender, and it's not only adults, but you see in here where children are now redefining their gender, that I am no longer a boy or a girl, but I'm a girl or a boy. They're changing their gender. We also saw that the impeachment of the president started in this past decade. We also, the event of the selfie, I guess that's where you have that little thing after and take your picture, the selfie. We also saw the tremendous influence and changes to the healthcare system that we see that's still continuing the next decade. And I think one of the closing things of this past decade on 2019 was the division of the third largest congregation in the United States. The United Methodist Church has announced that they will be dividing their congregations between what they consider conservative and, I'm going to say, mainline Bible-believing believers and those that are embracing the gay, lesbian, transgender agenda that they want to ordinate and have in their pulpits people that are transgenders, gay, and lesbians. So they're splitting, and they're going to divide up the churches, and they, from what I'm understanding, that will be coming in this new year. They will, when they have their next convention, they will be splitting up the various churches in the United Methodist Church. Third largest denomination in the United States. And I don't know about the world, but it is the United States. Okay, just some of the thoughts about 2020. You know, I think last week I mentioned blind Bartimaeus. You know, he had 20/20 vision, but we always think of him being blind, and we think when he saw. But just to mention that, but Bartimaeus, and I guess it's because I had a dream about him, and it was very real, but his vision was spiritual. We always think about his eyesight in that Yeshua healed him, but I come to find out that his vision was spiritual and not necessarily a physical, that he could see that he had a spiritual. Maybe as the months, as the Shabbats come and go, I may mention a little bit more about my dream, but it was quite real, and I believe it was real from my perspective. So today's Torah portion, just to get into that and not toddle here, is Vayigash, and it's coming out of Genesis chapter 44. You know, we're gradually moving to the end of Genesis with our Shabbats and our drashas, and the half Torah is from the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. I think today we could summarize this Torah portion in two words, and that would be recognition and reconciliation. You know, we've sort of ventured a little bit away from the Hanukkah and all those, and those celebrations, but we're now back, and we're back in Israel, and we're back where we see that Joseph was sent into exile there, and he has risen to power. And his brothers have come from Cana, from Israel, to buy food because they've heard there's a famine in Israel, there's a famine in Egypt, but they've heard that in Egypt there is food that they can purchase and take back. So Judah has approached Joseph. They've come, and the last time they came, Joseph put his cup in Benjamin's sack, or his I'm going to say his luggage when he was going back. And they took him as a prisoner. He's been keeping him at his house. And after all, Benjamin was Joseph's brother, and they had the same mother, which was Rachel. And we see today that they have come back, and Judah, and that's what Vayigash means, and it says, and he approached. It's talking about Judah was the one that did not want to kill Joseph, but he wanted to just teach him a lesson and then let him go, but they sold him while he was gone. So we see today that Judah has approached Joseph and is begging for Benjamin to be released. As a matter of fact, he has offered himself as a slave to Joseph for the release of Benjamin, because he's saying his father is in later years of life, and to lose his youngest son would be very devastating. But, you know, Joseph was very moved by Judah's loyalty to Benjamin. And, of course, he loved his brother very greatly. And we see that he gets the brothers together, and he reveals his identity to them. He says, I am Joseph, your brother. But he looked like an Egyptian, so it sort of threw them off guard. But when they realized that Joseph was actually not an Egyptian, but he was actually a Hebrew, we won't get into that, how he identified himself, but he did. It was through the Brit Milah. But the brothers were overcome by their shame and remorse that they had done this to their brother, that they had sold him and then told their father that he had been killed by a wild animal. But Joseph asked about his father, his Jacob, if he's still alive and how he is as far as his health. And he tells them that God had sent him to Egypt to save Israel in the future. And that's what he's doing today in this Torah portion. So the brothers return. He sends them with a wealth of grain and food. And the brothers return to Cana, and they tell their father, Jacob, that Joseph is alive and doing quite well in Egypt. By this time, Joseph had been in Egypt over 22 years. And it's interesting to note that nowhere in the scriptures have I found that Joseph, it's ever mentioned that Joseph went back to the land of Israel to see his family. Even though he came to a place of power, he never did go back to Israel to visit his family. He stayed in Egypt. So Jacob, through hearing from the Lord, he didn't really want to leave and go down there. But God gives Jacob a divine promise. He says, fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make thee into a great nation. And I will go with you down to Egypt, and there I will also surely bring you up again. And God, of course, is referring to the Exodus that takes place 300 and some years later. But, you know, while Joseph was in Egypt, he became very wealthy, and he sold food and grain to all neighboring nations. And so Pharaoh, when the Israelites come, there are 70 of them, which that was a number of nations, a number of the sacrifice. You know, Pharaoh lets Joseph, he picks the most fertile land there in Egypt. It's the land of Goshen, and that's where the Israelites settled. And Israel prospered while they were in Egypt. But God did not sue Jacob because Jacob did not want to leave the promised land. But God did not remove that pain to be in the promised land because Jacob was actually going into exile himself by going to the land of Egypt. But again, God promised him that he would in one day would bring the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And you know, the path of the Israelites, you've probably heard me say this many times, their lives are a pattern, or our lives are a pattern to the way they were. You know, they were in exile for many years, and they got to go by the blood of the Lamb back to Cana, but they journeyed for 2 years. It was a training period for God to teach them things. And the first thing that they got before they left Egypt was the calendar. A lot of people think, well, they got the Ten Commandments. No, it was the calendar. And the reason for the calendar was God had specific moeds that he wanted them to observe, because people really don't understand this is leap year on the Gregorian calendar and on the God's calendar. I believe it's leap year. I hadn't looked at that yet, but we would have to add a whole month to God's calendar. But that's the reason that the moeds all come on the same month, in the same day of the month, same like Passover the 14th and like that. And so that's why we add a whole month to the calendar. But you know, they traveled for 2 years. Then they had the debacle of the spies, and God punished them. They went into the land and wandered around to see what was there for 40 days. And God said, for the number of days that you wandered, I will make you wander that many years. So they wanted an additional 40 years. There was 42 encampments, and their encampments are exactly like our lives. Our lives follow the 42 encampments. And if you know anything about the last encampment, that was the encampment at the Jordan River where they crossed over into the promised land. And that's the final encampment that in your life you will engage in before you pass to the promised land. You will camp at that end of that Jordan River, and then you will cross over into the promised land. That would be God's. But God put them in exile, and us today and believers around the world, we also are in exile. Anytime you're separated from physically being with God, then we're in exile here in this dark world that we live in. But God has promised to give us strength to overcome the challenges. And Israel, but they became very placent where they were at. They had a lot of food to eat. And as time proceeded along, they become very complacent. And they were very well liked living in the land of Egypt. But one day came where the Israelites remembered who they really were. They remembered that they were the chosen people of God, and that they would one day take with them the wealth of Egypt. And that's a parasha coming down the road. You know, at this time, Egypt was really a superpower in the world that was available at that time. They were very economically, and they had a great military. But we see Joseph, while he stayed in the land of Egypt, in the exile, he maintained his holiness. He taught the Egyptians about the God of Israel. They knew who the God of Israel was. But the brothers didn't. The brothers, you know, when they first saw Joseph, they didn't recognize him because he dressed differently. And I think we as believers must also recognize that we today have differences. We dress different. We may talk different. We all look different. We may act a little different. But we all are diverse. And I think each of us has our own individuality. And I think that was the secret of the brothers, is also something that we need to be aware of today, that we need to appreciate and accept everybody just as they are. If they're a believer, then we don't need to worry about what kind of clothes they got or how they wear their hair, or maybe they have a different language than we do. They may pronounce words a little different, but we need to accept them just as they are. And just to close this parasha this morning, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, we see it presents two sticks, and the two sticks are joined into one. That is telling us that's a shadow of the messianic reign when Yeshua comes. We will all worship him as one. There will be no division. There will be no denominations. We'll all be as one, and we will worship Yeshua in the messianic reign as one body of believers. Shabbat Shalom.
I'll rise for the closing of the Torah. Bitzo ta Torah, Asher Shamoshe, Lifnei b'nei Israel, O Pi Adonai, B'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. It's Chaim.
It's Chaim, Elohim Kiba. Et lo kutecha merusha derakeha dorenoam bekoti botecha shalom ashiveinu Adonai eleh haleinu ashuva.
Wisdom is the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Okay, you can be seated. We'll take up the morning tithes and offerings right now. And we'll have an offering song here just in a moment. And I'll pray for the offering. But just an announcement. We still have we still have a few of the calendars. If you'd like to have they're very pretty. They got beautiful pictures from the land of Israel, and they are $18. And I believe if you're online and want to order one, you can get in touch with us, and we will get that shipped out to you. There's a few left, I believe, out here and over in the fellowship hall also. So those are available still yet if you want to. And again, we just want to bid you Shabbat Shalom. Thanks for the ones that are here today and those that are live streaming with us. We appreciate you for turning in this morning to be with us on this Shabbat, the first one of the year of 2020. So we're going to take up the offering this morning. Just a reminder, we will be at the end of the message today, we will be taking up for Pastor Dave, we'll be taking up an offering for him because they've come from North Carolina over here, and you have to buy gas. Cars don't run on air. And so you got to have some gasoline that keeps going up a little bit, inches up. So we want to bless them for coming over today and sharing God's word with us. So let's ask God's blessing on the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We ask that you will bless this offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Bless the gift and bless the giver, Lord. A good measure pressed down, shaken over, Lord. And we thank you and bless you today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can come when you're ready.
Glorious.
Glorious, O God, glorious, O God, awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God, glorious, O God, glorious in all of your ways. Oh, you are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God, awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. And you are holy. There is none like you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. We're going to go into our worship part of the service. Diane's going to lead us in that. But I want to just mention that we'll be doing the shelking out of the table of the Lord after the worship. So that'll give you time if you're live streaming. You'll be able to get prepare for that if you want to partake in that part of the service. So this morning we will go into our offering. I'm sorry, the worship part of our service this morning.
Hallelujah. Jerusalem. Thank you. לך המוות לנצח ומחר אדוני אלוהים דמעה מעל כל פנים וחרפת עמו יסים מעל כל הארץ כי אדוני דיבר
Good worship. Okay, we're going to go to the table of the Lord this morning, Shel Kanata and I, so you can you have a few moments here to prepare yourself for that. We're not supposed to come unworthy, but this morning Pastor David is going to lead us in that. And Bill, would you help me serve this morning? Okay, me and Bill will serve you after he blesses the emblems. Thank you.
For me. Can you hold these for me? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. This is one of my, this should all be our favorite thing to do during Shabbat. Amen. Is to partake of the bread, partake of the blood, partake of the drink. Amen. And I love what Jesus said. He said, if you don't do these things, you have no part of me. Amen. That's how important it is to partake of the Lord's table. Amen. To be worthy to partake of His table. Amen. I want His flesh. I want His word. Amen. Yeshua wasn't saying to go eat His flesh and to drink His blood naturally. He was talking spiritually. He was saying, eat my word. Every day we should eat His word. Every day we should partake of His Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's that important. Until this day, it astounds me from Jewish home to Jewish home how that they do this. Every Shabbat, they sit together. Every Shabbat Orthodox from Messianic, they sit together and they partake of these things. Amen. And I just wait for the day. I long for the day that they realize that all this time they've been taking of Yeshua. They just didn't know his name. Amen. I long for that. Do you? Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord as we bless these things. Amen. Bless the bread. Bless the wine or the grape juice. Amen. You at home. Amen. That are live streaming, you can do this with us. Amen. And let's just look to the Lord as we bless this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the vine, which is your blood shed for us on Calvary. We thank you for it, Yeshua. Let's bless the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hametzei lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the bread from the earth. And God, we know that we are not to live by natural bread, but through your word imparted to us. Give us this day our daily bread. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen.
Okay, I think we're all finished. Okay, we're going to have the morning, the message today. And as I said, Pastor David Durham from Blue Ridge Mountain Church in Elk Park, North Carolina, is here this morning. So let's welcome him to the Bema this morning as he brings a message that God has given him for us today. Thank you. Please come.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's try it again. Praise the Lord. Man, how many glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm thankful to be here once again with you here at For Zion's Sake. Amen. Our Yehuda congregation here in Bristol, Virginia. Amen. I always get that kind of because you got the line. Amen. So I think I got that right. But I thank God, amen, for the opportunity. I'm glad I got to come once again, which means I must be doing something right. So, amen, that you had me over this many times. Amen. So let's be in prayer for Rabbi Joe and Dawn. As I see their beautiful pictures they've been posting online. And, man, I know it says zealous for Zion, but I'm kind of zealous. Amen, Rabbi Joe right now. Amen, getting to enjoy all those beautiful views. But let's be in prayer that God would strengthen him. Amen. If you would just join me for just a quick prayer as we stretch out our hands for Rabbi Joe. Father, in Yeshua's name, we just come before you. God, we ask that you continue to uplift my brother, God, uplift my mentor, God. I pray, Lord, that your strength, God, would just continue to increase in his life. God, I pray, God, Lord, that you would just go in his body right now, Lord, and we won't be satisfied with anything other than 100% healing in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for being with him. We ask that you continue to do it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you were talking about this decade that has passed. We're entering into a new decade of 2020. Amen. A vision of different things. And I was thinking about the last 10 years of my life and how things have changed. How things have changed for the better. Amen. In some instances in my life. And how it's been a hard 10 years. Amen. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. It's been hard. Amen. Last year, 19 was a hard year. And for those who don't know, 19 is the number of faith. All through the Bible, 19 is the number of the faith. And it was a year of faith. It was a year of testing faith. It was a year of seeing where our faith is. And I promise you this, that we'll need more faith. Amen. That's one thing that the disciples, when they were there with Yeshua, they said, Lord, help us increase our faith. Amen. And I believe as the days keep going and you see the news going on right now in Iraq and Iran and all these different places and church, we look at it and we see it's been going on in Israel for a long time now. Amen. But it's starting to hit home. Amen. It's not just started. It's been going on. But I believe now we're really starting to see the effects of this. And church, I'm here to tell you today that we need to know where we stand with God. We need to know where we're at with God. We need a battle plan for God. Amen. We need to know that we know that we know who we serve this morning. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. You can look around these pews this morning and you can tell that we're in a critical time. We know this time is coming. We were talking before the service started about how that the Bible says that there will be a great falling away. Amen. And we're seeing this every day. We're seeing the pillars of the church. We're seeing those that paved the way. We're seeing those that had a passion after God, had a vision after God, had a such a relationship with God. We see them going off the scene, amen? We see them passing off, and who's going to carry the torch or who's going to be the one to step up and take the place of these people that paved the way to be where we are, amen, in God. And I tell you, the time is just going to get rougher, amen? It's just going to get tougher, amen? It's not going to just ease up, amen? The battle is going to get more intense as we go. Which brings me to this message this morning. And the name of the message, or the title of the message this morning, is Battle Ready. Amen, Battle Ready. If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Amen. Starting in verse 13, reading down to verse 22. If we could all stand for the reading of the word. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Manaiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jaril. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tachil. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Yeshua, we ask, Lord, just for this brief moment of time, God, I pray that you take your words, move me out of the way. Take the coal up off the altar, anoint my lips, that I may be able to speak your word with clarity and with power and with anointing. For we know that it's through the anointing that destroys the yoke, a bondage over your people. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Battle ready. Are you battle ready this morning? Do you know that you have what it is going to take to continue in your walk with God? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I want you to listen to this. It says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are in a battle. as soldiers are being sent to Iraq and to counter this thing that has happened, and I thank God for a president that would stand up and say, enough's enough. Amen. We're not going to take any more from our enemies. We're not going to lie on our backs. We're not going to just let you continue to walk over us, and we're not going to let you do what you did on 9/11. We are in a battle. Naturally, physically, spiritually, every way you look at it, we are at a battle. Amen. We're on the battlefield. Amen. We're looking for this great gathering at the Battle of Megiddon there in Armageddon. But I'm here to tell you, at your house, at your job, at your place of worship, in your car, when you walk out of this place, there is a battle going on. Amen. Whether it's in your mind, whether it's financially, whether it's your co-workers, whether it's your job, whether it's another woman, another man, another relationship, whatever it is, we are in a battle for our very souls. We're not in battle for water or for bread, or we're not in battle for where our next check is coming from, or what are we going to do when they say milk is $20 a gallon or $30 a gallon. Amen. We're not in a battle for that today. We're in a battle for our very souls. We're in a battle for where we need to be. And we used to have, amen, I hope you're with me. I know we're not very few, but if I could just have a few amens, it lets me know that you hear what I'm saying. We're in a battle. There used to be battle warriors back in the old. And I didn't even go to church back in the old days and back in the days and back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. I didn't really start going to church until 2005. That's when I gave my life to God. I met my beautiful wife, and we've been on this journey for close to 15 years now. 20 years ago, I graduated high school with no aspirations, no goal, no nothing. Never knew what I was going to do in my life. Never knowing, but I knew I had to fight. That's one thing about me, is I had to fight to get where I'm at. Amen? It just didn't happen. I know God. Amen. And I know it says God is fighting. And trust me, church, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can fight all you want to, but if you ain't got God on your side this morning, you need to get Him. Because without Him, you cannot stand against the enemy. It says it's high. Amen. Our weapons, the things we need. Amen. We need weapons. We have to be battle ready. We have to have a plan. Amen. Amen. You don't just go to war without a plan. It says, against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks of this. It speaks of our battle dress code. How many remember? Amen. This is elementary stuff. Amen. Amen. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, amen. To have our feet shine with the perspiration of the gospel, amen. To have all these things, and I love how it puts it in Ephesians chapter 6 when it says that you have to put on the whole armor of God. Not just the helmet, not just the shield, not just the breastplate of righteousness, or not just the belt of truth, or not just even the gospel. It takes the whole armor of God. And I love how it says that you may be able to stand. Meaning without the armor, you can't stand. There are people going out here in this world that don't have the armor. Oh yeah, they claim they have truth, but they don't have faith. Or they have faith, but they don't have righteousness. Or they got righteousness, but they don't have the helmet of salvation. Or they have the helmet of salvation, but they don't have their feet shine with the perspiration of gospel. I don't know what you're lacking this morning. I don't know what you need this morning, but it takes the whole armor of God to be able to stand. And when you read that scripture, it says, when you've done all to stand, I love how it says, stand. Amen. Amen. But yet we can't stand for 10 minutes, can we? We can't stand for 20 or 30 minutes, but oh, if we were at a football game, I guarantee you we'd be on our feet this morning. I don't like that kind of ministering. Well, that's what you get when you get me. You get the things that you don't like, but you need. And we need a reality check of where we are. We need to understand how we need this armor of God. And not just armor of God, but we need our weapons. Amen. The shield. Amen. It's a weapon oftentimes. We forget that. We think it's just for defense purposes, but in actuality, the shield is also used in offense along with the sword of the Spirit that pierces to the very asunder, amen, dividing the souls of men. How we need this armor of God. How we need to be battle ready. How we need to have our weapons ready. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Do you believe you need your weapons? Amen. You need to have your weapons ready. You need to have your shield ready. You need to have your sword, amen, sharpened. Here's some of the weapons of warfare. Just a short list if I could name these. This is just a condensed list of some of the weapons. I'm not going to talk about all these, thank God. Amen. I'm just going to talk about one. But here's some of them. The Word of God. It's a weapon. Faith. Full armor. Our confession. Testimonials. Forgiveness. Prayer. Gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy. The shout. Encouragement. The blood of Jesus. That's a good one. Names of God. The names of God. Fruits of the Spirit. Tithes. Uh-oh. Amen. That's a weapon. Miracles. Binding and loosing. Praise and worship. And worship in the arts or the dance. You've seen it this morning. This is some of the weapons of our warfare. But our focus is going to be just for a moment using this scripture on praise and worship. Praise and worship. I want to focus on praise and worship because praise and worship, I believe, is the key to every other weapon that I mentioned. Yes, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua is probably the most important thing that we have to have in our life. If we don't have His blood, then we're lost. Yes, we need the Word of God, but everything is contingent on our praise. You know that praise, you cannot just come into the house of God and just worship. You first have to send forth a praise. It says, I enter into your courts. Amen. Amen. I enter in with praise. Amen. I enter in with thankfulness and praise. Amen. Through your gates with praise and enter your courts with thanksgiving. Amen. We need to have praise and worship. Praise is contingent. It's not contingent on where you are in your life. Praise is not contingent on God doing something. God's already done something for you. If God never does anything in your life again, He's shed His blood for you. He rose from the dead for you. Everything else is a bonus in my life. He chose to give me a ministry because He loves me. He chose to set me up to be able to talk to people because He loves me. He chose to let you know how to dance. And some people, they just dance, and that's great. But dance is something, and it takes a teaching. And you have to know what you're doing. To be able to dance, amen. To be able to sing, to be able to worship God, it first takes praise. It's not contingent on if you're healthy or if you're rich or if you have a big ministry speaking into thousands of people. It's not why you should praise God. You should praise God because He is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. If nothing else, you could wake up every day and realize without Yeshua shedding his blood and raising from the dead, you would be a lost individual. What does it mean to be battle ready? As the people of God, what are we releasing into the atmosphere when we come to our place of worship? What are we inviting into the atmosphere? Who do we represent? And who or what is the object of our worship? These are great questions because everything hinges off of praise. What is praise? Praise in the Bible, when you look it up in your concordance, means to be joyful. Amen. Come on. Amen. I love the scripture that says, rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. Amen. Everything, in everything, give thanks and rejoice in the Lord. It says to be joyful, not downcast, not downbeat, not with our hands, amen, like this, saying, I wish you'd shut up, amen. It should be a joyful delight. This is one thing about the Jewish people that amazed me, how they can go to the Western Wall, sometimes in fear of their life, sometimes in fear that they might get run over or stabbed or killed because they're just Jewish. But it always amazes me that no matter what happens in a Jewish person's life, they praise God. They're joyful. They dance. They sing. I'm talking about the man. Oh, man. It means to be jumping or leaping. I remember one of my greatest times of my life besides my marriage was when I went to Israel in 2010. Almost a decade. It's been a decade ago. Wow. That's crazy. But I remember going in 2010 and we went for Simchat Torah. And we made it up in our mind that we were going to stay there for however long it took because we wanted to grab the Torah and we wanted to dance. Right there. We wanted to take part of it. And I remember we waited for a long time. And then this little group come out. And they started praising. And first we just walked down and we were looking. We were waiting. And then finally they called us over. And the person I was with, amen, he got the first. And he got the prayer shawl and he was carrying it around. I'm sitting here like, man, I want it to be my turn. Then they turned to me and they asked me if I wanted to. And they looked around. They didn't have another prayer shawl. So the leader took off his prayer shawl and gave me his prayer shawl. And I began to take the tour and just dance with delight, dance with praise, dance with worship in my heart. Because it was something to be joyful about just because God is who He is. We got this wrong thing of praise that we'll praise God when He does something for us, or we'll praise God when we get healed, or we'll praise God when He puts money in our bank account, or we'll praise God when He gives me that new job, or we'll praise God when the house is full, but the praise should be the same despite the circumstance in our life. Yeshua is our example in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 verse 21. In that hour Yeshua rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it has seemed good in thy sight. So in that hour Jesus, Yeshua, rejoiced. Amen. He's our example. Even I love how almost every time we see something going wrong in the Bible, they begin to praise God. If you remember the story of David when he sinned with Bathsheba, and this baby, the first baby that come along, ended up dying. David took off. Amen. He was praying. He was fasting. And when the baby died,
He began to rejoice in God. And everybody around him was in awe. Even his wife was like, "What are you doing? You're dancing like a crazy man. Your child's died." He said, "I can't change it. I just know God's good. It was because of me is what happened. It wasn't God's fault." We got to get this out of our head. That what's happened in our life is God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's the people's fault. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. He doesn't want us to go off on our own. He doesn't want us to walk off and leave Him. He doesn't want us to make decisions we make. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us just to realize that He is good. "Well, you don't understand." No, I don't understand sometimes. I don't understand where I hear about a 15-year-old kid down here in Elizabethan, 15 years old, has an asthma attack and dies. No, I don't know the plan. I don't know God's plan sometimes. I argue with God. You say you argue with God? Well, yeah. We have some arguments. Guess who wins? Amen. He wins. He's the ultimate authority in my life, and He wins. Amen. I don't ever win. God don't ever let me win. I don't understand why. I don't understand why people have to go through a sickness and pain, or cancer. I don't understand those plans, but I know one thing. I know God's still good. I know He can heal. I know He can set free. I know He can deliver. But it's not contingent on what He is doing. It's contingent on what He has done already. It's up to us to take His blood. It's up to us to drink of His blood and to eat of His flesh. But we should be ever rejoicing, jumping, and leaping. The concordance says right here that this word rejoiced is to greatly rejoice. It's exceeding joy. Wow. Hallelujah. It's delight. Amen. That's the whole thing. We miss it sometimes, but the whole key sometimes is Yeshua's God through all through the Bible says, "My people, when they call the Shabbat a delight." Amen? Amen. This is what rejoice is. It's a delight. It's a jump for joy. Amen. Have you ever heard that? Jump for joy. Amen. Yes. To be delightful, to exceeding joy. Amen. I love how David said it in Psalms 51. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He had lost his joy. Come on. Amen. Sometimes we lose joy when we come into the house of God and such and such ain't here. Amen. We have that tendency, don't we, brother? Amen. When we come in, it kind of gets to us. Amen. As a minister, I can tell you when I walk into the house of God that used to be full, and now there's 6-7 people in the house of God that used to be full, I get downcast. I get depressed almost. But then I have to get in this place to realize that beyond my circumstances, there is a joy that comes from God. Amen. Amen. My joy comes from the Lord. My help comes from God. My rejoicing is not, amen, that people aren't here. My rejoicing is that God is still in control. Amen. 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 Now you might understand why I have people come up and they say, "Brother David, why do you get so joyful? Why do you get so loud?" Because I love it says loud voice. Amen. And I often think, man, I wish I could just tone it down some, but nah, I'll be all right. And here in this story, we have a particular story about a battle in 2 Chronicles. Here's what happens. And I'm going to break down a few verses here. And this is what happens starting in verse 13. Going down, we see a prophet give a word. And this was the word that the prophet gave. He said, "You will not need to fight in this battle." Meaning what? Meaning God's going to fight for you if you do what He says to do. Amen? He says to position yourselves. This is what that set yourselves in verse 17. It says, you don't need to fight in this battle, but to set yourselves. Be ready. Amen? Position yourselves. Amen? This ain't checkers. This is chess. Amen? Amen? Position your pieces. Even though God's going to be the one moving the pieces, you have to be your part. Amen. Come on. You're needed. Amen. Those of you at home, you're needed here. Amen. You're needed. Yes, it's great that you tuned in. Yes, it's great that you're watching online. Amen. But you are needed in the house of God. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even the more as you see that day approaching. And it's approaching every day. Now's not the time. You don't understand, Brother David. Yes, I do understand. I sit at the house and cry sometimes because I don't want to go. But guess what I do? I get dressed and I go. Amen. Amen. To position yourselves. To stand firm. I love that. He tells us, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. We already know the outcome. We already know who wins the war. Amen. Amen. This is like a history book. Amen. Amen. We can look through history book and we know who won the wars. We know who's going to win this war, but church, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Congregation, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Though we know who wins the war, we still have battles. Some we win, some we lose. Amen? But we're still standing. But this battle is not ours, it's God's. He tells them in verse 17, don't fear, be discouraged. Don't lose your courage, amen. This is something that God had to do with all the prophets almost. When you look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah in prison, Jeremiah in the dungeons, Jeremiah saying he wasn't even going to make mention of God. He wasn't even going to mention His names, but then he says, and he goes right on, and he says, but there's something inside of me, and it's burning, it's shut up in my bones like a burning fire. And I can't stay here. Amen. This is the type of people we need. That no matter if you're discouraged, no matter if you don't feel like going to church or the synagogue, it don't matter if you feel like talking to somebody. Maybe that one person has something you need to hear this morning. Maybe that person can encourage you this morning. I'm not saying to look at other people to be encouraged. You have to look to God to be encouraged. Whether or not somebody's here, whether or not somebody's going to raise their hand, whether or not somebody's going to say amen, whether or not somebody's going to give their life to God. God is the one that gives the increase. All you're required to do is give the seed this morning. Don't lose your courage. He tells Joshua when Moses dies, be courageous. He tells Elijah when he ran from Jezebel and hid himself in a cave afraid. He had just got through slaughtering the prophets of Baal. He just got through slaughtering the prophets Baal. God had sent the fire and licked the dust around it. They tried to take water and douche it out and get all of it out. Amen. But God said, it ain't going to work. Don't lose your courage. Don't fear. He tells us to go out and face our enemies. I often wondered sometimes if you've ever watched these old Civil War movies and these old movies, how battle really was. Now it's guerrilla warfare, it's hiding, it's people that can kill you from 3 or 4 miles out and you never even hear the bullet. Now it's planes and tanks and submarines and satellites, but man, back in the day, they just used to line up in an open field and just shoot back and forth. And it often, I wondered, why in the world would you be that drummer boy? Out in front, you ever seen it? They would have the flags, and they would be walking in front, just drumming in front. These cannons just flying by their head, and these bullets just flying by their head. But they still drumming the beat. You know why? Because they were praisers. Amen. Come on. They were praising. They may not have been praising the right thing or the right person, but they were praising. They were joyful. Amen. They were beating their drum as hard as they could. And if somebody died that had the drum, guess what? Somebody would pick up the drum and they'd continue on. Amen. In front. I love that. This is what we see here. He tells us to go out and face our enemies, not by ourselves, but to go out and face them because the Lord is with us. Amen. That's the problem. You at home, you watching, you here this morning. Amen. If you don't know God's with you, don't go out facing your enemy because you're going to lose. If you don't lose to your enemy, you'll join the enemy. You say, oh, never me. If God ain't with you, this world has a stronghold. But our weapons of warfare can tear down those strongholds that the world has. Jehoshaphat, he hears the word of God and the king begins to worship the Lord. And guess what? The people followed suit. Amen. They just didn't let the king worship God, and that's what we do sometimes. Ah, come on. We come in, we say, ah, let the pastor do it. Let the rabbi worship. Let the rabbi praise. Let the rabbinese praise. Let her play the piano. Let her praise God. And you know, I'll join along. No. He worshiped God and the people followed suit. Matter of fact, it said he had his face to the ground and he began to worship God and the people began to worship God with him. It says that the Levites praised God with a loud and a high voice. Hallelujah. Amen. They weren't whimpering behind something. Amen. They weren't saying these mamby-pamby prayers, I call them. Amen. You know what I mean. Amen. I don't want nobody to hear my voice, so I pray like this. God, thank you, Jesus. Move for me, God. No, that ain't what it... They said with a loud and a high voice, they begin to praise God. Matter of fact, in Psalms 149... It says that high praise. Somebody say high praise. High praise. High praise executes judgment on our enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning if you want some judgment on your enemies, you want your enemies to know who God is, then you're going to have to start giving some high praise in the house of God. You don't have to start exercising your right, amen, this God-given voice, amen, that God give you. And if you ain't got a voice and you can't talk and you ain't got but one hand and one leg, then find a wall, amen, stand up on that one leg, take that one arm and beat it against that one leg and make a high praise sound to God. Listen to what it says. It says, let the high praises of God. I love it. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. To what? Verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints.
Amen.
That praise ye the Lord. You see it?
Yeah.
Amen. There's nobles. There's kings. I'm not here to point to the left. I'm not here to point to the right. I'm here to point at those that try to tell me that there's over 100 different genders and I have to conform to some way and I have to say certain things and I have to be amen. Maybe God called me to be in prison. I've been to jail before. It ain't nothing to me to go back. Amen. This time at least I know I'll go for something good instead of something stupid. I had my wife, she's telling me all the time, don't do that, you go to jail. Don't do that, you go to jail. I'm like, listen, I have a voice, and I'm going to use it as long as God seems fit to call me to do what He's called me to do. I'll stand anywhere God calls me to stand. And I'll tell you, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. The wrong way seems a frighten to a man, but the end is death. But the right way of God will lead to life everlasting. And I want life. I want it to the fullest. I don't want to be settled. I don't want to just conform to this world. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. To be in the world, but not to be of the world. Meaning you don't have to take this thing. And it often made me wonder why in the world these people stand up, say there's over 123 genders. I say if you were born with that part, you're a man. If you weren't, you're a woman. Well, I don't know what I am. Well, you better ask God what He made you. Amen. God don't make mistakes. Even in LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, whatever they got it now. Even in that, the word B means bi, which means there's only two genders. You say that to them and they say, oh man, I'm poking the hornet's nest. Well, let them sting me, it don't matter. Amen. I don't like bees anyway. These people stand up. You heard the man this morning talk about the church splitting. Some going this way. Some going to God. Some going away from God. It's because nobody wants to be offended. Didn't Yeshua warn us of this time? Didn't He tell us this time would come that they would easily be offended? Didn't He tell us that this time would come that they would force us out of the house of God? That they would martyr us and they would think that they're doing the service of God by doing what they're doing? When I'm preaching tonight, amen, this morning, praise God, when I'm preaching today, amen, ain't for the weak of heart. It ain't just for to take and just say, you know, he's just speaking out of his head. No. It's to take and to know where we are in God. To know that we need something. We need a plan of God. We need a battle plan of God. We need something to let us know that God is going to do something. And when we take our high praise and we begin to praise God in the midst of our enemies, while we're facing our enemies, that God will start to execute judgment against these kings. Why does we often learn? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God change it? Why doesn't God do what He did in the old? Because there were people back in the Old Testament, amen, that praised God no matter what was happening. Yes, oftentimes they lost it. So how in the world are you going to cross the Red Sea, take a tambourine and dance, and then a few verses later mumble because you got bitter water? We often lose the picture, but I'm telling you, if we just set our hearts to praise God no matter what, no matter what comes our way, no matter what we face when we go out here, we don't know, church. We don't know our last moment of our last day. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we better know who holds our tomorrow. Amen. It says, "This honor have all His saints." Are you a saint of God this morning? Then it tells you to praise God. I love how the word hallelujah is the same in every language. I don't know Japanese, but I at least know one word of it. Amen. And even though I got to get on to him because he ain't here, so I can say it. Amen. I watched a message the week after our preaching, and Rabbi Joe was making fun of my southern accent. No, he wasn't making fun. He's just telling the truth. I'm not Jewish. I may say Hebrew words wrong, but guess what? Amen. I say English words wrong too, if you haven't noticed. That's why God said He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Amen. I hold on to that. I have my wife, she tell me all the time, she says, "I don't know what you said, but it wasn't a word in the dictionary." But it takes praise. Hallelujah is the same in every language. And it means praise the Lord. That's all. The king called in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles. He calls the people and he tells them, he calls on the singers. Wow. Well, we don't have a dedicated singing group. Amen. Did God say He needed a dedicated singing group? He say He needed a choir? No. I know they were dedicated, Asaph and all those were dedicated singers and they did certain things, but all the people. He called on the singers and the worshipers to go in front. Frontline battle, amen? To go first. And this was, to my knowledge of the Bible, something out of the norm. Usually when I read that the children of Israel go to battle, the ark went first. And they followed the ark. But here we see that the singers are in the front line and the worshipers are in the front line. It wasn't normal. It wasn't something that they did all the time. This was something new. It was a new battle plan of God. They prayed. They asked God, "Give us a battle plan." He said, "Okay, here's your battle plan. Go out and sing." Think about how foolish you'd look right now if you went out to this, down this street, amen, to downtown Bristol, and you went on the front lines of a battle and you begin to praise God. It would seem kind of foolish to the normal world, but just wait what God does. He's going to start setting ambushes against our enemy. And guess what? The enemy is going to start fighting the enemy. Amen. They're going to start fighting themselves. Amen. Praise God. It's time for the church to stop fighting on themselves and just start praising. Amen. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care what you are. As long as you know that Jesus, Yeshua, died for you, you have His blood applied to your life, you know that you know that you know that God sent forth His Son to die for you. You can argue about everything in the world. Amen. But my Bible says, don't worry about foolish gesturing. Because what? It genders strife. Don't worry about foolish questions. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know. A lot of people say this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It doesn't matter to me what happens. All that matters is that at the end of the day, I want Yeshua to look at me and say, enter into the kingdom, thy good and faithful servant. That's all I want. That's all my desire. I don't have any other desire. I want to live an everlasting life with my King. I want to praise Him because I'm not who I was. I want to praise Him because He gave me life. I want to praise Him just for the simple fact that He's good and His mercy endures forever. It wasn't normal, but guess what? Desperate times calls for desperate measures. I remember, she's dead now, but this old lady Stella at our church. She was old. From the time I came, she was old. And she had hard times. She often would come to church in her walker. And she'd come and she'd sit in the same spot every time. It wasn't in the back. It was close to the front. She'd always sit on this side of the church. She'd come in on her walker. And the service would start. And I'd always look over her way. And no matter how she was feeling or how hard it was to walk, you'd always see her with her hands up, praising God. I've seen people, and I'm sure you have too, here with the awful word of cancer come in on a deathbed almost. Sit his deathbed right in the front. Lay on that bed until service starts. He would get up from that service. He would walk up front, and he would minister unto the people like nothing was wrong. Don't tell me praise don't work. Don't tell me praise don't change the atmosphere. There's something about praise that turns the lock off of God's blessing in our life. We often want the blessing. We don't want to do what it takes to get it. We don't want to praise Him no matter what the outcome is often. And even though it hurts me, even though sometimes I don't exactly understand why God hasn't blessed me and my wife with a child, but still I look at her some days and I say, it doesn't matter what God does, we still have to find it in our hearts to praise Him. Because our praise isn't contingent on a kid. Our praise isn't contingent on if we have money to pay the bills. Our praise isn't contingent on if God blesses the house of God and sends people to the house of God. No, I believe God's going to do it. But it's not contingent on that. My praise is this. My praise is a dead king that rose from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him down. Amen. That should be praise enough for thousands of lifetimes. I love the song, amen, that you sung or that you played during. Better is one day in His courts than a thousand elsewhere. One day. Some of my most times of praising God come at work. When a man told me, I was working at Food Line at the time, and the man told me, and he said, my child ran away. We have to watch him. He's trying to commit suicide. He's trying to do all these things. And he said, you know, I know you're a man of God. And he was an older man, and still to this day, every time I walk in the Food Line and he's there, amen, he comes up to me and he hugs me. And he come up and he said, when you get time, just pray for my son. I said, there ain't no time like the present. And so we went to the dairy cooler, shut the dairy cooler door. Pretty cold in there. I know, I work in it all the time. We shut the dairy door and I begin to pray in tongues. I begin to lay my hand. We begin to praise God. And just the Spirit of God descended upon us. Church, this ain't just weekend type stuff. This is stuff that we should be experiencing every single day of our life. We should be experiencing that type of praise. Don't save your praise. You're supposed to come to church overflowing from praising God, not having to fill up. That's a problem. We come, you come Saturday morning to get filled up. No, you should be coming Saturday morning to be overflowing, not to fill up. You should be filling up Monday. You should be filling up Tuesday. You should be filling up Wednesday. When you get to church, when you get to the synagogue Saturday, guess what? You should be overflowing. This place shouldn't, amen, people should be calling the cops on you, amen, and saying, what's wrong with that place in Bristol? Every Saturday morning, all I hear is this Hebrew music coming out, and they're just praising God. I hear some kind of shofar sound coming forth, sounding out the alarm, amen, blowing the trumpet. Amen. Praising God. I hear some kind of clashing of timbrels, it sounds like. Amen. You're going to have to do something because this is contagious. Hallelujah. Did you know praise is contagious? You start praising God. Then that person next to you, if they don't want to look foolish, guess what? They'll start praising God. Amen. If a whole house would praise God, wouldn't one person be on their seat? I remember that's how it was at youth camp. I was mad as could be because they told me I was going to receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't receive it when they thought I would receive it. And I remember being mad. And then the preacher at that time, he stood up and he caught everybody in the front. And I was mad as could be. And I didn't want to go up front. But guess what? Everybody was up front. I didn't want to look stupid. So guess what I did? I went up front. And their praise turned into worship. That's what God does. We offer Him praise. He returns it to worship. Amen? It's some good stuff. Desperate times call for desperate measures. As they begin to praise and to sing, the Lord begin to fight the battle. He began to set up ambushes, and the enemies begin to fight each other. Quite the opposite if we think about right now. People want to fight, and people end friendships, and people don't worship with other people because they don't quite believe what they believe. I've been to Baptists. I've been to Pentecostal church. I've been to Messianic churches. I've been to churches all over, and I'm going to tell you something. It's the same fight. It's the same fight that we fight here this morning. It's not a different fight. It's the same fight. You know, you can read in your Bible, and most of the time, amen, Judah was fighting with all his brothers. Oh, really, the only brother that stuck with Judah was Benjamin. They were really close, but man, all the rest of the brothers fought each other. Fall all the time, but guess what happened when they come to the worship place? When they come to the tabernacle? When they come to the temple? Guess what happened? Amen. All the fighting stopped and praise began to start. It focused. Amen. Praise focuses us toward God. I ask you, what are we releasing into the atmosphere. Amen. What are we inviting into the atmosphere when you come to church and because, oh, such and such ain't preaching? Or you come to church and it ain't like you want it to go. It didn't follow the line. Amen. We didn't do all the things we need to do and it didn't follow my expectations of church. I tell them all the time, well, you better get ready. There's coming a day, I really believe it with all my heart, the church ain't going to be like we think it is. It's going to be different. It's going to be something that we're not accustomed to. Amen. We're going to have to find ourselves. We may find ourselves outside this building. Let me tell you. Amen. When you leave this building, amen, God doesn't just stay here. He goes with you. Amen. If this building gets torn down, you're going to let that stop your praise or you're going to take your praise and know God's in control. Amen. God's going to start setting up ambushes. It says in verse 27 that the army of the Lord returned rejoicing in victory. Amen. They just didn't stop. They kept going. What happened here was praise and the singers that began to sing. And the prophet, when he began to speak under the anointing of God in 15 and 16, he brought a shift in the atmosphere, and the atmosphere began to change. This is what praise does. Praise begins to change the atmosphere. It's the key that begins to unlock everything else. When you don't feel good, guess what makes you feel better? Praise. When you're depressed, what begins to lighten your mood? You put your favorite worship song on and you begin to praise God. It begins to unlock. Amen. It begins to unlock a new atmosphere. It shifts your focus on God. This is what worship and praise does. And when the prophet brought the word. Matter, this is what the prophet did. He laid out the plan. He said, this is the plan. This is the battle plan. You need to sing. You need to worship. And when they receive the plan, they begin to be battle ready. This is what the prophet did. He brought in the shift of the atmosphere. In Amos, it tells us that God roars from Zion. In Amos 3, chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. The lion have roared, who will not fear? The Lord God have spoken, who can but prophesy? I'm not a prophet. I don't see myself as a prophet. I don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds it. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what kind of battles we're going to have to face. And the whole thing is people don't want to face battles. I don't want to face a battle. I want everything to go smoothly. I want everything. Then I'll praise God. I'll praise God when I know that when I go out, I won't have to be hit with something. Guess what? We're hit with it, whether we like it or whether we don't. We're hit with death. We're hit with sickness. We're hit with pain. We're hit with infirmity. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to set our hearts to praise Him? Are we going to set our hearts to worship Him? In John 4, verse 23, it says that the Father is seeking true worshipers. He's seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I love that. It says in the Bible that mercy and truth have kissed one another. And oftentimes, we got all truth, but no mercy. And then some have all mercy, but no truth. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. We need a just, right balance of mercy and truth. That's what Yeshua was. He came 100% mercy, but He was 100% truth. When He went out and praised, when David went out and praised, we see all through the battle, different battles, we see the wall of Jericho coming down after they praised God and went around seven times, and on that seventh time they blow the shofar. That's a weapon. This is a weapon. This is a weapon. But just as this is a weapon, that's a weapon. Guess what else is a weapon? And most of the time it's a weapon. The dance is a weapon. And just as all these things are weapons, guess what sometimes is used as an evil thing? It says it's full of venom. But the Bible says out of our mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Won't we take this God-given mouth that God has given and use it to vocalize praise unto Him? If you could play that song, please. I want to end here, because I want to focus our hearts to take this time. And if you're really honest, this is a new decade. 2020 starts out a new decade. It starts out something new. It's a new beginning. It's what Hanukkah's all about. It's a new beginning. Now that those 8 days are over with, we're going to wait till next Hanukkah or next Passover, next Shavuot, next Feast of Tabernacles to praise God. No, I love how the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're sitting at home right now watching this. Maybe your praise isn't what it once was. Maybe you don't praise. Maybe you don't really shut yourself in and really just worship God. Maybe we don't really do what it takes, but the Bible says when this time comes, it takes the priests, the ministers, the worshipers of the Lord to weep between the porch and the altar.